Outkick the coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
The man himself, the one and only pride of Dublin, Ohio, the great Brady Quinn.
A heat check. There needs to be a heat check for someone in the LA Clippers who's, I guess this would be the equivalent to how Stella got her groove back. This is just that with Paul George and how he's played the past couple of games.
Yeah, playoff P is back. You know what else is back? Because we are looking out here in Southern California, many of our great listeners on the Blowtorch, AM 570 LA Sports in Los Angeles. We are staring straight down the barrel of what is projected to be the hottest day of the year thus far, if I'm not mistaken. And so you know what that means. That means as the masks begin to come off, BO is back. A lot of people who have been cutting corners the past a year and a half, not putting on deodorant or wearing cologne because they're like, who cares? Everybody's got a mask on anyways. You better freshen up because you don't want to be downwind near some of these people, especially as you get closer to the beach, Brady Quinn, because BO is a real thing. And I say that because I have it right now. Right now,
well,
I've got it.
Yeah, it's something that you seem to talk about often. I'm not sure why, but you tend to claim that you've got BO a lot. It's just a weird claim. Here's what's really more of a concern for me, all right, is people's breath. As masks come off, I think there was maybe some people who decided to, if they brush twice a day, that the second or maybe a third time was kind of more reluctantly or begrudgingly they were brushing their teeth. Now you kind of have to. You got to be brushing those teeth. Hopefully people are actually using mouthwash, providing some gum. It got kind of hard to chew gum if you're wearing a mask. You can't really breathe as well. Yeah. Didn't really make as much sense. I think some people were lazy enough to be like, well, I need to brush my teeth.
Exactly.
Did I just have an entire thing of garlic? Yeah, of
no more
course,
burping in the mask either.
Who cares?
Yeah, you
who
can't
cares?
Burp in the mask. You burp in the mask, that's nasty. That's
well,
just
you
nasty.
Might,
you got to do what you got to do, man.
Floor.
Yeah, you listen. Oh, you know what, man? Like, you don't hotbox yourself. Why are you doing that? Like, nobody needs to smell their own burps.
The reality is, though, bad breath is upon us. That's my biggest concern.
Yeah,
you're more concerned about BO. I'm more concerned about halitosis, bad breath, everything that comes along with that.
Yeah.
So that's more of my concern right now for all those in LA.
It brush your damn tongues, okay? Like if you go out and you dive into a bag of Funyuns, that's fine. But drink enough water, rinse your mouth out, and then brush the back of your tongue, and then put in mouthwash afterwards. Like we got to get this stuff squared away, and I feel like we've just done a great service to everybody listening here on Fox Sports Radio, Brady Quinn. I think we've done a great service. Now we could get into sort of the speculation that Joel Embiid struggles last night in that game because he did look very, very off in comparison to his other games. Many people are saying, well, it's
tired.
The knee issue. Yeah, he did.
It almost looked like his mind was preoccupied, like he was thinking about something else.
Yeah, it's like, it's the knee. He's got the knee problem. It's like, well, but he did score, 40 points on that same knee. So, maybe it's not the knee. And again, we were not accusing him of anything. We were simply asking the question if maybe, possibly, Magic City in downtown Atlanta got the best of Joel Embiid. Now, I have never been to a Magic City. That is not my thing. But I hear it's a fine place. You and I were at the Super Bowl in Atlanta a couple of years ago, and we went to a place and decided to drink them out of every single Sam Adams cold snap that they had in the entire building. We decided that was going to be a good idea, and ultimately it was not a great idea. But we did it, and and I feel like we got a lot accomplished.
I wish I could say that was an exaggeration. I'm pretty sure they were actually all out of it by the time
were.
We left.
It was over. Yeah, yeah, it was it. It was just yeah, it just wasn't happening. But we're not. We don't. Again, we're just simply asking if whether or not Joel Embiid might have enjoyed himself a little bit, and that's what led to the struggles there. But somebody who is not struggling is Playoff P. Paul George is back. He is back. He is back with a vengeance. And Paul George is starting to impose himself on the NBA playoffs. And you asked the question earlier, and I do think there is something to this. When you see the Lakers get eliminated and you see Brooklyn as banged up as they are, you don't mean to tell me some of these other teams remaining who thought, yeah, this is cute and all, but we got to deal with them when we get to a certain point, aren't looking around going, hold on a second. So the two teams we've been hearing about all year long as the teams that are going to be the title contenders were the Lakers and Brooklyn. The Lakers are done. LeBron James has turned into a full-time Twitter participant now. He's got a comment on everything. And then you've got the Brooklyn Nets, who have got two of their big three out for at least the game coming up later on. If I'm one of these other teams, man, I'm looking at this as a real opportunity. I think it's totally up in the air beyond Brooklyn as to who's going to take home an NBA championship this year.
It's hard to. I mean, look, I'll say this much: if the Clippers continue to play the way they have the past couple of games, even though the Suns are right now resting, waiting for the winner of this one, I think the Clippers will be tough to beat. I just think their overall star power, the way they're able to play. When you've got, you know, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, everything's kind of rolling on their side of things. Other players kind of pitch in. You know, Reggie Jackson as well has kind of had his moments. But when this team plays the way they have the past couple of games, they're going to be tough to beat. They're going to be tough to beat. So part of me is almost hoping that that's the matchup we get, Clippers versus the Suns, because I do think it'll be the best matchup. But again, there's still a lot of basketball left to be played. I just want to know, what's changed for Paul George? Like, is it truly the fact that you go, okay, door's wide open? I mean, it was kind of like that, obviously, earlier in this series when they first got into it. But I'm always curious to know, like, why that consistency can't be there all, you know, the entire time. Because he's playing with a different attitude. It's not like, well, he's missing shots and now he's hitting those shots. He's playing with a different attitude. He's playing more confident. And so maybe it's just the fact that, you know, he's been able to stack together a number of good games. He's gotten in a good rhythm. Maybe it's something else. I have no idea. But they're a different team right now, the way Paul George is playing.
By the way, that Kawhi dunk last night on Favors, good God.
Well, there was a murder was on the court. I mean, there was some bodies on the court. There was a chalk outline. It wasn't O'Neal. I forgot who he ended up
Derek
dunking
Favors.
Over. But
yeah, Derek
there
Favors.
You go.
Yeah, yeah. Derek Favors. There's a pun there that I'm not going to make. I refuse to make the pun. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, you shouldn't. It's too easy. It's too big of a layup.
Yeah,
but
you know,
who probably tweeted about it was LeBron, right?
Listen, I told you he's a full-time. He's very active on Twitter right now.
Like, for example, the Kyrie Irving injury. Just and I hate to digress because you did mention this, but you know he just basically tags Kyrie and then writes a four-letter word. Like at some point, and he's got kids too. Like, is that really what you need to tweet? Like, is a tweet necessary? And then is that what you want to tweet?
What do you mean?
If you're supposed to be like a role model and all this stuff. And look, I know we can't always hold these guys to be perfect. Like, no one's going to be. But that's an instance where it's not like he said something and was like, oh, I wish I could take that back or I wish I wouldn't have said that. He thought about it, tweeted it, and now it's out there for the entire world to see. And I think when you have a star athlete who does that, it's like, all right, yeah, now it's, you know, it's cool or whatever, just to, you know, go ahead and cuss and say whatever you want. I don't know. It's that kind of stuff where I'm like, why was that needed? Like,
well, I mean,
like why was that really necessary?
Listen, there are a lot of tweets. I don't understand why they're sent. It's like the people who write stuff on Twitter and they go, they just write one word. So like if that were the situation, somebody on Twitter, I guarantee if you search far and wide, seeing Kyrie Irving go down with the ankle injury, somebody somewhere just tweeted out Kyrie... Like, dude, come on. Complete your sentence, all right? Don't make me do one of these things that people do on Facebook where they want to get everybody's sympathy, so they write something on Facebook and they go, just when you think you knew somebody, dot, dot, dot. Like, come on, man. Like stop fishing for compliments. Stop begging people to ask you what's wrong. Either complete your sentence or deactivate your Twitter account. And that's the way it's got to be, all right? So whether it's LeBron James, Caitlyn Jenner, or Dog the Bounty Hunter. I don't give a rip who it is. Finish and complete your sentences on Twitter, or else lose your account forever. That's my rule. That's how I'm rolling, Brady Quinn. What do you think of that?
I don't really care about Twitter.
Thank you.
But I did notice that, and I always wonder, like, in his position, why does he feel that he wants to say anything profane? You know, like, what's the point? Are him and Kyrie, did they patch things up again?
I don't know.
I feel like there was a lot of things that have been said since he joined the Nets.
Yeah,
there was a clutch shots comment, something like that.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Kyrie says a lot of things I don't know that he actually remembers all those things. I remember this is really funny. Like, I remember back in the day, like, he was sitting on the floor in Boston, and he told the crowd, like, I plan on signing back here if you'll have me. And then, an hour and a half later, he was making plans to go with Kevin Durant to Brooklyn. Like, so, I mean, it's just weird, and, you know, so I just wonder if maybe he forgot that part of the plan as well, too, and he just kind of, you know, aborted the mission. But point being, the L.A. Clippers are tied 2 games apiece with the Utah Jazz.
One more quick thing?
Yes, yes.
Okay, just because we've got kind of our L.A. fan base now awake and kind of listen to this.
Yeah.
Is L.A. kind of like the SEC? Like, so Bama's dominated the SEC with the exception of LSU winning a national championship recently.
I know where you're going.
And what everyone does in the SEC is they're like, SEC, SEC, and then they just tag along. Like you're anywhere close to what Bama is.
I know.
Like you have any association with Bama. Are the Lakers fans going to tag on to this if the Clippers win it all? I just want to know that
cares
right
about
now.
The Clippers in LA. Nobody cares about the Clippers.
Here they go.
Yeah, but Roberto, if the Clippers win because the Lakers are at home, I'm just asking. Are, like, Lakers fans going to be like, yep, that's right, 2 years in a row.
No.
It stays in L.A.
It would be like saying Dodger fans would cheer on the Angels if they were in the World Series. No. Two completely different fan bases. Well, the Clippers don't have a fan base nearly the size of the Lakers. But Laker fans are hardcore purple and gold. If you know anything about L.A.,
I get that. But, like, when you make the baseball analogy – Lakers and Clippers playing the same stadium.
The White Sox won the World Series, and they're saying that all of Chicago's going to be White Sox fans now.
Same arena. Hey, listen, it's like a little different when you share an arena.
Yeah,
right?
but
they share the same city, though.
The Clippers have been a guest.
The good thing is at least the Clippers are generating revenue right now for that arena, I guess.
I guess with those cardboard cutouts. There were seats that were still on sale, Brady.
And the selfies that they have that hang on the Raptors.
For the Clipper tickets that were available, they weren't even sold out.
Taylor Swift, has a banner.
It's sad that the Lakers fan base can't.
I really could care less. I think
a year where the Clippers are better. You know, it's just sad.
I'm not even watching. I'm watching the Dodgers.
It is the Laker trolls like Arnie, hey Laker fans, and Jonas, Ben Maller. Oh, you love trolling on Laker and Dodger fans. It's like a part-time job for you.
Listen, I simply ask questions. I am not trying to stir the pot. You know me.
Sure.
I am a very standard sports talk radio host. I like
can we
to
just
give
start the
takes?
SEC chant? Can we just do that for Lakers fans? I can already see this happening.
No.
Listen.
SEC.
Look, the SEC thing's a joke. You know what's so obnoxious about it? It's like, if my neighbor gets a new car, I don't run around town going, hey man, we got a new car. It's like, no, that's his car. I'm not driving it. And it's like SEC fans see Alabama go on a run and they go, yeah, we did it, man. Man, you didn't do a damn thing. Your team was barely bowl eligible. You were playing it in the 99-cent store bowl, and Alabama's winning college football playoff games and winning national titles, yet they want to claim SEC. I love the SEC. I've never understood that. I've never understood the SEC chance. It's weird.
If you can't beat them, join them, right? That's usually how that works.
I agree. All right. And by the way, I would like to apologize for Clipper fans. Danny G.
See, there goes Jonas covering his Clipper tracks.
I want to say that, I don't don't refer to you as Tenets. I don't call you Tenets, and I'm not going to point. I'm not going to mock the cardboard cutout.
It's the truth. That's why the Clippers want their own arena. That's why Bomber's trying to go to Inglewood.
Unbelievable. You can get Danny.
Could you imagine that arena though? Man, that'd be nice.
Well, the, yeah. the kind
well, of that new arena.
Yeah,
that
nobody's going to go to. Yeah.
By the way, the Lakers also are a tenant. The L.A. Kings owners are the ones who own Staples
Center.
Wow.
And here we go. Another layer.
Yeah, look at it. But Eddie, who owns the rafters, though? Who owns the rafters there?
The L.A. Kings own the rafters, the roof. They own the concession stands, the parking lot.
I believe
lot.
The square footage up there is owned by the Lakers, though.
I love it.
That's just a tenant. No big deal.
This is wow. By the way, if you're a Clipper fan and you are offended by what Danny had to say, you can get him on Twitter at the Night Stalker.
Oh, my God. I can't wait for all two Clipper fans to tweet me.
Yeah, listen, it'll be heavy mentions for Danny G. All right, Jonas Knox, Brady Quinn, this is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. You can listen to the show on the iHeartRadio app. Coming up next, you speak of one of the great voices. He is a show favorite. We love him. He is Petros Papadakis for his weekly shenanigans here with Brady Quinn and myself, and it's yours next here on FSR.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
He is the great Petros Papadakis of AM 570 LA Sports, the Petros and Money Show, also Fox College football analyst, and one of our favorites. He joins you every Tuesday, and I am hearing reports that the reason we have switched from Taylor Swift to Cher as your walk-up music is because you did a version of that song locally on AM 570 LA Sports. That's my understanding.
We had a live stream on Friday, you know, a sponsored thing, and we did a gay pride dance because it was a pride night at Dodger Stadium. So I took off my shirt and we dressed Matt up like a little tiny skinny Kershaw, and because Kershaw was pitching that night, and we put Matt up on the table and he shook it around, and then I was walking around shirtless swinging my belt around. You know, I don't.
Yeah,
really
you were.
I don't really make an honest living, you know.
Hey, Petros, does Matt have some pretty good hips? He has some loose hips. Can he shake it a little bit?
You know, he's pretty white. You know what his dance moves are kind of like now at this point? I mean, we're older now, you know. I mean, we're both in our 40s. You know, when we started, I was in my 20s, and Matt was in his early 30s. And I think I would like in his dance moves. Remember the bad guy in what's the Wedding Singer, the Adam Sandler movie?
Oh, John Lithgow.
No, the bad guy, the guy who was the Wedding Singer.
Oh, no, not John Lithgow.
The guy who was married to Drew Barrymore.
I don't know the guy's name.
Yeah, but he goes like, remember when he goes like, you should write a new song. It's called I Put My Face in Someone's Business and Got Punched in the Face.
Oh, remember? Yeah. That's
how Matt dances. Like that, like the Junk Bonds guy in the 80s. That's how Matt
dances.
So
you're saying very sexual is what you're basically saying.
I'm saying he's got an 80s style.
Yeah. By the way, why did I just confuse John Lovitz with the guy from Harry and the Hendersons?
It's not Lithgow or Lovitz.
What the hell? Yeah,
it's
what am
neither
I
of them.
Yeah, I apologize. That's
jeez,
my fault.
I just got up. I don't know what your excuse is.
Look, I would like to. I would just like. I was actually surprised that you were here with us this morning, based on what happened in the final of the French Open, and I didn't want to bring that up. I was surprised to see, you know, the pride of Greece, Tsitsipas, who lost. How about that, huh? Who lost in the French Open final?
Great match.
I mean, I just, you know, Petros being the voice of Greek athletes everywhere. I wondered how that landed with you.
Well, you're aware of this, Brady?
Yeah.
Of course, I was watching it. I actually texted Jonas. Did I not text you? I go, Djokovic might end up losing this match. It was intense, man.
A few things happened to Tsitsipas there, the great Greek tennis player, the hope of Greece, shall we say. maybe the greatest Greek athlete of all time. Now, I'm well aware that Pete Sampras went to Palos Verdes High. He's from this area. He went to our church, too. He's Greek-American, like me. But he's not like a dirty, real Greek. You know, he's a fire hazard and he smokes. And he's a hairy. And, you know, he went to the Greek church. But Pete Sampras is like me. He's an American whose family came from Greece. Tsitsipas is a Greek, which is a whole different deal. And he's going to break through one of these days. I mean, he's the youngest player in the top 10. and he keeps taking these enormous steps. So we'll be able to celebrate a Grand Slam victory for Tsitsipas one day, unless he goes full Capriati. But he had two real terrible things happen to him. His yaya, which is your grandma in Greek, died right before the match started. So he came out firing, and then Yaya's ghost, you know, weighed too heavy on it. It's true. And he had a terrible bout, emergency toilet with explosive diarrhea. You know, and then, you know, the Joker, I mean, he's no joke.
Yeah.
No pun intended. I mean, he's one of the best players in the world, if not the best. And, you know, he just... My dad was texting me the whole time because Tsitsipas is like 6 inches taller than Djokovic. And everything was like, may he beat this Serbian midget, you know. And the Greeks were really, really excited, but to no avail. But I'm okay, Joe. I mean, I'm okay. Like, I recover quickly. I don't lose.
Yeah, no,
Petros, can I ask you this? Your Twitter is always fun to follow, always fun to watch what's going on. What were you doing with a hatchet? What was that about? I don't know if you were chopping. Was it cardboard or a tube or wood? What was that?
There was a cardboard tube. That was a while back. That was a video taken during the pandemic, the height of it. You know, during the height of the pandemic, we went to work every day. You know, not that we need to be commended. I mean, the people in the supermarket did too. But we drove up every day and did 4 hours a day because there were no... sports or anything going on, and all we did was go on for 4 hours a day and try to keep it light because nobody wants to hear me, you know, talk about what I think about what's happening politically and socially. So I started buying knives on Instagram at night, and the kind of culmination of my and I have no expertise with knives, or you know me, Brady, I barely go outside, but I started buying sharp objects for whatever reason online, and then the culmination was that hatchet. And now I kind of I'm thinking about starting to get some knives again pretty soon here. There's one I have my eye on, but and they're not that expensive, you know. It's a great habit to have. It's not like collecting Rolexes. And I love the hatchet. It feels good in the hand.
Well, listen, by the way, for those of you, this is not Mike Leach. It's Petros Papadakis joining
us. Do I sound like Leach?
Here's the thing.
No,
Mike Leach. Mike Leach. Mike Leach loves the show Vikings, and so he went out and bought a bunch of axes, and he was on a show years ago on Fox Sports Radio and talked about how he has an axe by the bed, and he likes to pet it. Like it's a dog. Mike Leach, very charismatic head coach, you know.
I like his style. You know, I've always liked Mike. I like what he can do. He can only exist. And it always thought it was really funny because people, whenever Mike Leach had a job, wherever it was, right, in Texas Tech or Washington State or now Mississippi State, it's always like, gosh, you know, why does it, some bigger job comes up like Tennessee? And everybody goes like, well, gosh, they should hire Leach. And it's like, no. You know, he belongs in the furthest outpost of whatever biggest it's true. I mean, because if he got, let's say he had the Washington job instead of Washington State. You know, the Washington job requires you to wear a suit and show up at an event on time with a bunch of rich people. And he would show up, you know, dirty from a day of work and sweats or shorts with like sandals and be like, you know, like that's him. And that stuff wouldn't really go over that well at UCLA, but it's the places that he coaches that fit perfectly. And it kind of seems to perpetuate itself in every conference. The only one, I mean, he's hit them all, right? Except for the Big Ten.
Yeah.
What's the furthest outpost of the Big Ten?
Oh, gosh.
Illinois?
Maybe Illinois. I mean, maybe Rutgers, but they look like they're on the rebound.
Yeah, and Illinois is a little more buttoned up, but the engineering style and stuff, I don't know if they couldn't suffer Leach.
Gosh, I don't.
They have Bielema right now, and he's pretty weird.
Wouldn't that be an interesting turn if like PJ Fleck left in Minnesota? Like Leach goes up to Minnesota.
That's a big city. Couldn't exist. big city.
It would be interesting to see. It would be some fireworks, that's for sure.
Petros Papadakis joining us here on Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox, Brady Quimity here on FSR. Petros, what do you make of the, obviously you covering college football for Fox as well. What do you make of this a college football playoff expansion to the 12 teams that's being thrown around here?
Well, I mean, I think the same thing that a lot of people think. I think they need to do it for a few reasons. I think our sport is suffering because of the 14 playoff. It became a Southern event, and it became NASCAR to a certain degree. And that it's excellent football. I mean, we all agree that Alabama and Clemson and Ohio State are great, but that's not everybody. And college football was at its height, believe it or not, during the BCS. And maybe that's not something people want to hear, but what did the BCS do? It was something to talk about. We argued for the whole year. We argued about who was better, who would win, what would happen. Everybody, it was like this common thing. It was like Chrissy Teigen. Everybody hated the BCS. So we all had something in common. And we all had somebody to attack. And it worked. But this shut out so many. It never worked because you have five power conferences and four slots. So it was always going to be problematic. And you need to have the whole country involved, or at least have the whole country feel like they're involved. So it's something that they needed to do. I only hope that we're not more damaged by the next 2 years before it's implemented.
Yeah, I'm hoping that they can get it done before then, right? I mean, if you think about it.
I don't know.
We had to adjust during COVID. We seemed to adapt rather quickly. There was a couple teams that, hell, had to reschedule within a week, and they got it done. So
within days, and I couldn't believe right. that. I mean, just to your point, Brady, like, I grew up in a world where moving a college football game was just about as difficult as, like, moving the Grand Tetons. It's something that just didn't happen. And, you know, even a kick time, 10 minutes. Oh, my God, we're going to slide. I mean, that stuff like spreads like wildfire, you know, just moving timing in a football game on national television, which they all are now, is mind-boggling. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, we all witnessed, hell, I did a game where I was sitting in the booth getting ready to go, and Cal packed up their stuff and left. We never even played. I mean, they went to Pullman. They were on the field. And then all of a sudden, we were horrified, you know. So, I mean, you're right about that, Brady. If there's ever a time for movement, maybe it's now. But you know better how these contracts work. I don't know.
No, I'm with you on that. Hey, I got to ask you about this, the Clippers, and then what you've seen out of Paul George. It seems like he's been on some the past few games and just a completely different player. A, what do you chalk it up to? And then B, if the Clippers do end up winning the series and going on to win the NBA Finals, is the LA fan base, are the Lakers fans going to start kind of joining in and basically claiming that title back-to-back years and LA team winning it, a la the SEC does every time Bama wins the national championship every year?
No. Laker fans that become what they call, and I don't know if you've heard this term living out here, Jonas, Clipper flippers.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
They are derided by, you know, the other Laker fans. But, you know, it's interesting. It's not what it used to be. You know, when I was a kid, everybody rooted for Magic. Everybody rooted for the Showtime Lakers. And then the Worthy, I mean, all those guys, you know, ended up moving on, Worthy and everybody. And it became the Shaq, Kobe Lakers. And then that kind of divided people because you either liked Shaq or you either liked Kobe.
Yep.
Then it became the Kobe Lakers, and that kind of divided people because Kobe was divisive in a lot of ways, or polarizing is a better way to put it. And so they've, like, continued to cleave their fan base. Like, and now it's LeBron, and half the people hate LeBron, you know, sometimes for political reasons, sometimes just because they'll never let go of Kobe, and they see him as a mercenary. So the Laker fandom thing is a lot more complicated than it used to be. Maybe you'll agree with that. But they're still not going over to the Clippers. That's an ultimate humiliation to them. I will say in L.A., it's something to watch. And it's interesting to follow because they do have tremendous depth. And if Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are playing well, they're going to be tough to beat, obviously. And they're big and tough inside with guys that they can go big with. I'm no basketball expert, but I know they can go big with Zubats and guys like that. They even have DeMarcus Cousins. And if they want to go with a smaller, faster lineup, they have that Batum guy, the Frenchman, who's really dynamic and fun to watch. So, I mean, they do have that going for them. I will say this, the Clippers are probably, I'm not talking about the coaching staff and the front office, but just PR-wise and marketing, even though Steve Ballmer's a great owner, they're probably one of the worst-run organizations in the history of sports still. Like, you're more likely to get John the Baptist's head to talk on the radio than you are, like, anybody from the Clippers.
That's a good point.
I mean, they are useless. So it's always more of a national story. You know, even when Paul George and Blake Griffin were on the team and all that, DeAndre Jordan, it was a national story for highlights and Lob City. But they have their own passionate kind of blue-collar fan base, but it's nothing compared. Like, it's nothing like the Lakers and then, of course, the Dodgers in this town. I don't know if they could pull off a parade if they won. I don't think the organization
is
capable.
I think you're right.
Right? I mean, you live here. You deal with those people.
Right. Yes. I think you're, I mean, I've listened to you and Matt on AM570 LA Sports for a long time. I don't know that I've ever heard a Clipper player make an appearance on the show.
I mean, it's happened. We used to even have Paul George or we've
does
had Blake Griffin.
Does Don McLean count because he covers the Clippers?
Okay. No, he's like my best friend in sports.
Oh, man.
Am I wrong?
No, 100%.
How could they pull off a parade? Like, it would be Kawhi driving 70 down the 110 in a McLaren. And, one guy on an overpass with a pennant, Clipper Darryl.
And Ben Maller would be there as well, too.
I mean, I like him. I like the Clippers.
Yes,
I like
I
watching
too.
Them, you know, but I don't like their marketing people. The president hates me. I mean, it goes back a long way.
Get him on Twitter. He is at the old P. He is Petros Papadakis, college football, Fox college football analyst, AM570 LA Sports, the Petros and Money Show. Petros, we appreciate it. Let's do it again next week.
Thanks, Petros.
It's always great to be together. And it's just to be with Brady Quinn of the Big Noon.
Oh, man.
Oh, stop.
It's
I have no idea why you do this.
I tell people all the time. People mention Notre Dame, and I'm like, you know, I'm friends with Brady Quinn, right?
Oh, yeah. It's the go-to.
I drop it off.
I hate you.
So, you know, he has two places. He's got the place in Columbus and then down in Naples, you know, whatever.
Yeah, listen, that's who he is. Yeah, that's who he is. He's a man
still
about town.
Still looks great. You know, wife's famous.
Oh, yeah. She's got everything.
Are we done? Is it time for the break yet?
We can't ball wash you a little bit.
No, when I think he's got everything, though, I think of him at an Imagine Dragons concert. And I'm like, you know what? you can't have everything.
Yeah, nobody's perfect, right? Petros, we love you, man. Let's do it again next week.
All right, boys.
See ya.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brady Quinn and myself will be back tomorrow here on FSR. And we are going to continue on here throughout the remainder of the week. Brady Quinn, how about that? You and I getting to
it's been fun, man.
Bit.
It's been a lot of fun filling in for this time slot. You're getting over to hang out in the mornings a little bit, talk some sports and just overall shenanigans. A lot of stuff we had going on. By the way, I always love having Petros on. He is the absolute best.
Yes.
I've still got a video on my phone. I think it must have been around Christmas time. He was riding one of those, I don't even know what you call it, like one of the two-wheel things. They don't have any handles on them, but you kind of just jump on and you press forward or backwards to move around.
Oh, Jesus.
They're not Segways. It's something else.
Yeah.
Anyway.
God. Yeah, I know.
I've got
about.
A video of him. I think he's wearing Christmas lights around his neck that are like blinking or flashing, just riding around the avocado room there on the Fox lot and jamming out to some sort of music and just slowly riding around the room. I don't know if we were just watching games or having a meeting, but I love having him on. We can't, you know, have him on enough, in my opinion.
And by the way, we didn't have time to get to it, but I did want to ask him because I've been meaning to ask him. So maybe I'll do it next week. Didn't you guys go to yoga together? You and
we
Petros?
Did.
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah,
we've gone to at least one yoga class together. And I forget. I'm trying to think where we were at, where we went. He would recall. He would remember it. But I'm sure he would remember that much better than I, but usually whenever we are on the road together, we try to get a yoga session in. Yeah, no doubt.
So week one starters in the NFL, when it comes to rookies, I think is a much more interesting discussion than a lot of people are actually focusing on right now. And we can dive into some of the odds and how maybe it's not looking too hot for a certain starter in the NFL when it comes to the quarterback position for week one tomorrow. But Kyle Shanahan was recently on Tim Kawakami's podcast and just sort of, you know, laughed at the notion that people think they know what he wants as at quarterback and all this other stuff to go along with it. And you threw out some possible scenarios as to why the rumors were out there that Mac Jones was going to be the guy when ultimately it ended up being Trey Lance. And one of the things that's indisputable, he had to know what the Jets were going to do it to. And that was before they made the move. So did they make the move specifically because they were targeting Trey Lance, or as one of the possibilities that you threw out there, did they make the move hoping to maybe entice a team like the Green Bay Packers into wanting to do a deal for a top three pick in exchange for Aaron Rodgers? Like something just feels off with this whole thing.
No, 100% it does. And I think the intent, again, was you bring Aaron Rodgers back closer to home. He's from, you know, the Bay Area. And, you know, and it looks like obviously he doesn't want to be a part of the Green Bay Packers organization. I think we've now heard that loud and clear. And I think that's where the frustration started to come is, you know, once Trey Lance was taken, this deal, this hypothetical deal fell through. We then found, you know, maybe there was some indecision. Maybe the 49ers were thinking they were going to get Aaron Rodgers in this blockbuster trade that would set up the Packers for the future. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, if you're Green Bay, going up to number three, it's all good. But what player were you going to take that was really going to change right. your roster? Not a quarterback. You drafted, you know, traded up to take Jordan Love. So it then became like, okay, could they move out of that spot with someone else and be able to accumulate more picks? It just, you end up going down that wormhole and it becomes a lot more difficult to sort through than you realize. But nonetheless, now we find ourselves with weekend at Murphy's. And yeah, we're enjoying that little celebration.
Yeah. Weekend at Murphy's is a fun one. As Mark Murphy is Exhibit A into maybe what you don't do when your quarterback's already pissed off. All right, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox. This is Outkick the Coverage. Let's do it again tomorrow, babe. What do you say?
Sounds
there
like a plan.
Is. Yeah, damn right it's a plan. Back tomorrow, 6 Eastern time.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.